title of this message is Divine Healing. Now, we know that God created the human body. Now, one of the things about healing is that I can't think of any time in my lifetime that we need healing so bad as we need it now. So many saints going through so many different trials. I mean, if we listen to the prayer requests up here sometimes, it just, I mean, it could be an encyclopedia in length of the people that need prayer for healing, and that's bodily healing. But there's also another healing, spiritual healing. And so maybe it isn't that you need bodily healing so much as you need spiritual healing. But those are both on the basis of redemption. So God created this human body, and he performed his first operation in Genesis 2:21. He was the surgeon. And God, in his first surgery, we see this on this scene in Genesis 2:21. He said, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and he brought her unto the man." Now, I'm going to look at what Scripture says about healing. That's what we're going to do today. This is a Bible study. And then I'm going to tell you, is healing for today? Well, the answer to that question is yes, it is. So the first healing that we see, that was the first operation, but the first healing that we see is found in Genesis 20:17. And we have a Hebrew word there called Rapha, which means to heal or to repair or to mend. And God, in Genesis 20, verse 17, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Rapha, healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, we won't go through the background of this because otherwise we'll bog down, and I really want to talk about healing. But if you want to, you can go back and read the story of what happened there. The first sickness is recorded this is Jacob, in Genesis 48:1. We find the first sickness, and it said, "And it came to pass after those things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim." Now, Jacob was sick here. Now, the first lesson on healing for Israel is found in Exodus 15:23 and 26. Now, I'm going to state some things here, and it's kind of fast, but bear with me. Healing in atonement is initiated at this point in Exodus 15:23 through 26. God was their first physician under grace. In Exodus 15:23, it says, "And when they had came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, If thou wilt diligently hark to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Those are some strong words. God reveals himself to Israel as their healer here. We must realize that Israel at this point in time was under grace at this time, for the law was not yet given. It wasn't given until Exodus 19:8. Now, Israel at this time had crossed the Red Sea. They had come up out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, and they came to the waters of Marah. And Marah means bitterness, and they could not drink these waters because they were so bitter. Now, God uses these things to show a typical picture here for us. We too, we've come up out of the world, haven't we? Out of Egypt. And we've crossed the Red Sea. We've gone through the baptism of death, and we've been raised together with Christ, and we sit in the heavens today with him. We see our death with Christ in this picture. The waters are bitter, which speak of God's judgment upon the world here at Marah. So they become bitter. But the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" We know that the law offered no relief at this point in time. No relief. And there's no relief in our own works either. But Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which he cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. This tree, we know, is figurative of Christ, Jesus, and his humanity. And then notice he cut it down and cast it into the waters. Now, what happened was the waters were made sweet. Get that? Jesus, in your heart, he's made sweet. The waters made sweet are figurative of the blessings that he's poured upon us. The tree figures Christ in his humanity being cut down and cast into the waters of God's judgment. At the cross, Jesus was literally cut down and sacrificed there on this cross. Jesus, while hanging on that tree, bore all the wrath of God's judgment upon him. We see also in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath been made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The waters are made sweet for us because Christ became a curse for us. He went into these waters of judgment for us. Then we find another thing in verse 26, and it said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which was right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Now God appears to them, and he says, "I'm the Lord that will heal you." Now Israel is about to be given the law at this point in time. Now if you hearken to my voice and do that which is right and hear his commandments, I'll put none of these diseases upon you. He comes to them and says, "I am the Lord that heals you. I am your Jehovah Rapha." In other words, God is the one who wants to be their physician. And God wants to be our physician. He wants to be ours. It is okay to go to the doctors. I'm not here saying it's wrong to go to the doctors. It isn't the doctors that heal you. They may give you some medicine and remedies to take care of the situation, but it is God who heals this body. A lot of times this body heals itself because God has ordained it to be whole. You know that if you catch something and you try to take the vitamins and you want to build up the immune system, but God has already put that in us because he wants us to be whole. And so if there's a sickness, I have no trouble going to the doctor. But there are times when God has touched our bodies in ways that we know he's healed us. But he doesn't always do that. He doesn't always do that. Just like Job said, "Though he slay me, I'm going to keep trusting him." Now God wants to reveal himself as the Lord that heals thee. That's what he wants to do. Now I want you to note some basic principles that are taught in Scripture for Israel. First, obedience to God ensures health. In Exodus 23:25, it says, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sicknesses away from the midst of thee." Then in Deuteronomy 7:15, he says, "And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and put none of these evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee." God is emphasizing that they need to obey him. Obedience to God ensures health. Sickness entered into man when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. This is when sin entered in and all the diseases came in. This is what Scripture says. Now, another basic principle is disobedience for Israel. It brought sickness. In Deuteronomy 28:15, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Then again in 22 of Deuteronomy 28, "The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and an extreme burning and with a sword and with blasting and with mildew and with, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish." 27 verse of that same chapter, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with hemorrhoids and with scab and with the itch whereof cast not be healed." Just as we find obedience brings health, disobedience also brought sickness to Israel. Now, physicians' help was powerless is another basic principle, which is found in 2 Chronicles 16:12. Chronicles 16:12, it's Asa the king, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord. Get that. He didn't seek the Lord, but the physicians. Asa's problem was that he would not seek the Lord, but he went to physicians first. Then in verse 13, we see that Asa died. So his ending was not really good. This tells us that we should first seek the Lord for healing. Seek him. We can then go to physicians, but the Lord is our healer. He's the only one that can heal. He was the third king, Asa, and he had a disease in his feet, and it was exceeding great, but he needed to go to the Lord. Jeremiah 30:13 and 46:11, God is a jealous God. Do you know that? And he wants to heal us spiritually and physically. The healings are combined. It's just not physical healing for the body, but it's spiritual healing combined with it. Jeremiah 30:13, he says, "There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines." God wants to be their healer. He wants to be our healer. This was in Israel, and it's speaking to Israel. Israel had forsaken the Lord at this time, and Jeremiah says, God has no healing medicines, and there was no one to plead their cause. Why? Because they were not leaning upon the Lord. They were leaning upon their own understanding and men. Israel had forsaken the Lord at this time. This tells us as we need Christ. He's the one we need. He's our high priest. And who can plead our cause if we don't go to him for healing? In Psalm 107:19, it says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their own distresses, out of their distresses. He sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Get that? This is physical and spiritual healing described here. His spoken word brings healing, and it delivers from destruction. God is our healer, and he heals through his word. Another reference is in Jeremiah 8, 19 through 22. We won't go there. Luke 8, 44 and 48, you could probably turn to that one. But it's a familiar scripture, and it's about the woman having the issue of blood for 12 years, which she had spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. Physicians here in this verse are depicted as men's devices. What they have to come up with to help you. She is typical of all humanity. There's no healing for humanity. She was unable to help herself. But then she came behind him. She came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. Immediately she was healed. This garment is Jesus' righteousness. You're here today because you want to touch even more of his righteousness. He was clothed with his righteousness, and all we have to do is reach out and touch his righteousness and realize Romans 5:17. We receive the gift of his righteousness. We're a new creature. We're new. We're brand new. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Jesus knew who touched him, but she has to confess it. You ever come and confess to the Lord? "I can't do a thing, Lord. It's all you." When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Virtue here means a force or a power had left him. It was transferred from him to this woman. I want that. That's exactly what we do. We reach out by faith and touch him. We touch the hem of his garment, his righteousness, his virtue, his power comes in to heal us. Now, what was the difference? Many people had touched Jesus at this time. The difference with her touch and with the touch of the crowd was faith. Do you believe God can heal you? Amen. And you stand for it. Yes. "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Redemption made every whit whole, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Not only can we come for our salvation, for our soul and our spirit, but it's also for our body. Salvation, save this body, Lord, that I can glorify you even more. Just as we come to the Lord for salvation, we come to him for healing. Do you remember that day when you accepted Christ? I can remember. Bankrupt in spirit. Empty. That's how we come for healing. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer," or "be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Then in Matthew 13:58, we won't turn there. I'll read it to you. It says, "There's one thing that hindered the work of Christ in the lives of people, and that was unbelief. For in Matthew 13:58, it says, and he, Jesus, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Compare Luke 5:20-23, and then verse 31 and 32. We won't go to all of those, but healing was provided in the atonement. Luke 5:19, it says, "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him," this was a man, "in because of the multitude, they went up to the housetop, and they let this man down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? What's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house." Verse 20, Jesus saw their faith. So faith can be seen. You know that? Who sees it? Jesus. The faith was their action. These were men letting this man down through the roof. They were exercising their faith. They believed that they could lower this one in the presence of the Lord and he would be healed. So Jesus saw their faith and said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven. Let me tell you this. If you've got something in your body that needs to be touched today, you find people to pray with you. Don't leave this place. And if you don't get healed today, tomorrow do the same thing. And next week do the same thing. When I hear of somebody or get an email or something that somebody has an issue in their body, I can't wait to get a hold of them to pray with them. That's what we're called to do. Is that faith? Believe the Lord. They believed. They were exercising their faith. They believed that they could lower this one in the presence of the Lord and he would heal them. So Jesus saw their faith and said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scribes and the Pharisees, and they questioned Jesus on his ability to forgive sins. So Jesus perceived their thoughts and said, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven or say rise up and walk. Forgiveness and healing are equal as far as redemption is concerned. What we see here is we can come to the Lord on the basis of redemption and for the forgiveness of our sins. He's promised us. Nobody questions that, do they? But yet people question, how can we come to him and say, Lord, on the basis of redemption, Lord, I ask you to heal my body. So what is easier to say? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? Luke 5:24, he says, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. He's not only telling these Pharisees this, but he's telling us this as well. The Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. This man took up his couch and he walked. That in itself is proof enough that Jesus has power to forgive sin and heal our bodies. It is on the basis of redemption. In redemption, we're forgiven and restored. We are restored. Man's total needs were met through redemption. Redemption covers both sin and its results. Whatever sin has done to mankind, redemption has covered it and restored it back to us. Man was redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. Did you know that the healing of this sick man was manifested more to the world than the forgiveness of sins? Do you know that? The world cannot see the change. That's the reason. When we tell them that Jesus has forgiven our sin, they will look at us today and say, You look the same as you did yesterday. They don't believe it. There's no change in the outward appearance. The restoring of the lame is witness to the world that Jesus has the power and does forgive sins and he heals our bodies. Why is it that some are healed all at once? Well, Scripture tells us in Isaiah 38:4, Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer and I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee 15 years. This happened instantly. He was healed immediately. Now, some healings are delayed. Scripture tells us in Job 23:10, But he knoweth the way I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And then in that same chapter 23:14, For he performeth a thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. God didn't heal Job all at once. Why? Because Job, he did finally realize that God was working something much greater through his suffering than he could have worked if he would have healed him instantly. Sometimes we want to be healed immediately. I do. I've got an issue in my body. And I want God to heal him. Boy, I've been praying. but he hasn't. But we don't take into consideration that God may be waiting for us to arrive at a certain point of growth. So sometimes in the trial, God wants us to come forth as gold through this trial in our bodies. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I'm going to look just like him. Gold is refined in that furnace of affliction, and the impurities will be gone. So we take it from the hand of the Lord. In Job 23:14, for he performeth a thing that is appointed for me, he said, and many such things are with him. What Job is saying is that God was working within him at this time, something in his life far greater than he could have worked if God had instantly healed him and delivered him. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Though God does not heal me, though God takes me to the grave in this affliction, Job says, I'm still going to trust you, Lord. That must be our attitude. That must be our attitude. That's faith. We believe in divine healing, and God has miraculously healed my body in numerous times in various ways. But then know this, there are also times that he hasn't. Though he slay me, we're better off to trust God. The worst thing for a Christian is to have something that'll kill you and go home to be with the Lord. Is that a bad thing? Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now my eyes see of thee. This was chapter 42, verse 5. Job was he had arrived a little bit there. He was coming to the point, and he knew who God was. He said, I've heard thee by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee. God did all this to change Job's viewpoint. And maybe he's doing that same with us. We need our viewpoint changed. It was to give Job a deeper revelation of God. Job used to hear God, but now he hears him and he sees him. He sees him working in his heart and life. He has a different viewpoint. When we come into this place, this is the house of the Lord, isn't it? That's our viewpoint. We respect it, don't we? He could see what God was doing in his life at this time. This was a testimony of Job at the conclusion of his trial. We also might have a sickness, and we also may say, though he might slay me, or he may slay me, yet will I trust him. But we want to come to where Job did in chapter 42, 5. My eyes see him now, and I hear him. In the fellowship of his sufferings, Paul said, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, whether in sickness. Every Christian knows Jesus as their Savior, don't they? But how deep do we know him? How deep do you want to go? Acts 4:10 says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. They had just healed somebody, or God had just healed somebody. This was the lame man at the temple, but he was healed in Acts 4:1-9. This healing was in the name of Jesus Christ. It was his work of redemption that this man was made whole. Healing was practiced by the apostles. And then Jesus was the healer. It is the same thing today. This lame man expected to receive something, and that is what we must do. we must expect to receive something from God. Did you come here today expecting to receive something from the Lord? Did you? It's here for you. Take it. Don't walk out of this place if you've got something in your body, something spiritual. Ask somebody to pray for you. The healing will break forth spiritually and physically because Jesus wants to do that. Amen. You might think you need healing in your body, and maybe you do, but God might heal you spiritually first. James 5:14 says, Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. You ask if you need healing today, what's your attitude about it? James 5:15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. They go together. It isn't the anointing with oil that delivers. Anointing oil is here typical of the Holy Spirit. It is the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit. But notice the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But also notice it isn't the prayer of faith that raises them up. It is the Lord shall raise you up. God is the healer. As I said before, if you need healing, let's get it today. If you don't get it today, let's get it tomorrow. Come back again and again and again. Doesn't the scripture say to be consistently asking? God is the healer. People that pray for people are not the ones that raise anybody up. We come to the Lord believing in him, but it is God that heals. We stand in prayer together as we should, but again, God is the healer. Faith didn't stop with the apostles, but it continues on to us today. So absolutely healing continues. Just like faith continues, healing is here. Some people would say that healing doesn't happen today. Why doesn't it happen? A brother asked me that recently. Why aren't people getting healed? That isn't because of God. But a lot of times it's because they don't believe it. If we don't believe it, it nullifies the work. We must believe there's no other way. I need God. I need the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Is that not true? The message hasn't changed. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful, isn't he? We say that a lot. So, what are we to do? Hold fast the profession of our faith. Believe God without wavering. In other words, believe him. Trust him. Also, healing is just one portion of divine truth. Do you know that? We don't hang our hat on just one portion of that. But it's one portion of divine truth. There's more of God's work in our lives than just to heal us out of our own afflictions. We are not just to camp here in this portion of truth. We're to go on and grow up in Christ in all things. Also, God cannot be tied down as to how he manifests or delivers or heals. I'll tell you a story. Ty called me just before this service and asked me if I could take the meeting. And he texted me, he tried to get me on my cell phone, and I didn't have time. I was just rushing around trying to put these notes together. So I texted him back a prayer. Because God, I felt, am I going to limit God? So I texted him back a prayer. So I'm praying for your healing right now. In the name of Jesus, you come and heal Ty's body. Ty texted me right back and he said, thanks. And I sent back a text to him and says, that's the first time I've ever texted a prayer. Ty tells me, well, maybe God will answer your text. So I thought that was kind of funny. There are times when we don't know how God heals. We can't just put it to one way or another. Shirley and I, one time, we went home to visit my mom, and my mom brought this woman over, spoke Spanish, that's all she could speak. The doctors gave her just a short time to live. She had a bad heart. Well, we were going to pray with you. And I asked her, what do you want the Lord to do? She says, I want the Lord to heal me, but more than that, I want to know how to read my Bible. She didn't know how to read. That's spiritual. So we prayed for healing of her heart. God healed her heart, and she could read that Bible. She went home to be the Lord 7 years later in her sleep. But that was a sweet thing. We don't stick that. Today, we shall stand. What we stand for is we stand for Christ. We must believe God, but it's on the basis of Calvary. It's on the basis of redemption that Christ brought to us. Having prayed, believe steadfastly, persistently, resisting the enemy. Sometimes we look at divine healing and we don't feel healed. Well, do you feel saved today? Do you feel righteous today? No, we don't. But we are because God's word says it. I hope this has been a blessing. It sure has been for me.